looking at verse 29, just to throw this out, because we're going to be moving on now, does anybody have trouble with the first link in the chain of preparedness that our Father went to, for whom He did foreknow? Does anybody have a burning issue with that I didn't say or cover? Or you could, if you were going to explain it to somebody, you could do that. What does it mean when God foreknow? Well, it means that, and you could go right into explaining what that means. No problem. I suppose. I know that the tendency there, and we could probably do that and spend some time on that, is to try to put what I'd call a point, a time designation on when He foreknew us. But that's not at all what this is even concerned with. The thing that is to begin, like I say, this may not be the best way to say it, but to quell the heart, to firm up in the heart that the truth of verse 28 is real, that it's all true, is to know that just as you would look up to your earthly father, even if you were that even though he's adopted, he's in earthly terms still a very young, almost boy. He's 12 years old. He's still looking up to his father. You know, there were times, even in my own life, and I really think it's not a good idea that I use personal illustrations, because not everybody in this church either had a father, maybe he died early in life, or he had a rotten father, or it's fraught with trouble, and I don't mean to paint my dad into more than he actually was either. But there were a lot of times when I was going through my young adolescent stage where I would get myself into trouble, and it's not just that he could get me out of it, but the thing that made it comforting to me was that I could tell when I talked to him he had thought about that. He knew about that, and he knew what to do about that. And that's really what's going on here. When you look up to your father and he says, I knew all about this, you can't fill in the blank with all things, anything, that I didn't foreknow. I knew in advance you were going to participate with me. I was going to have you, and determined that we would enjoy this business together and put this whole curriculum in place so that it would do the job in you just like it's done in my own son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To fix the time perspective on it is an interesting thing to do, but even if we were to do that, if we were to say, okay, it was, you know, personally, I think this was in his mind from eternity past, but that's why I use that very generic expression, from way back, because that's really all you need to know right now. And whether we would want to put the time perspective, like you said, which would be very logical, that's fine. But it does nothing, I think, to assuage the heart and to put the confidence in place, and this is just the beginning of it, that it just simply, the simple understanding that when he put his business plan for creation together, he determined he wouldn't be alone in participating in it. He determined that he was going to have sons who would enjoy it with him. And when he thought that, he foreknew you. And that's really all. I think that's all he wants you to think about right now. Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, there's a really, you'll get that much more clearly when you start getting the subtlety out in the book of Ephesians, when you start understanding the genius behind what he did when he put his plan together. And then he'll talk about in eternity past, and he'll start talking about foreknow isn't always used in a context where it's oblivious to the point of time. But this is. It's really not interested in the point of time. It's interested in bringing confidence into the Son's heart that there isn't anything you could stick in the all things that I haven't known about in advance and prepared for in advance. Because when I put this whole thing together, I foreknew you, that you were going to function and operate with me in it. And that's not light. That's heavy. That's something, you know, the Father doesn't just look at his Son as a number. He looks at him as so precious he would send his own Son to die for him. So he's not going to hang him out to dry somewhere or even invite you, because you are the called. He's not even going to invite you into this business if it's going to hurt you. That would be an inconsiderate father to do something like that. So that's my understanding of that. And that's again, I think that's the limit to which he really wants you to think about it right now. Okay, any other questions? Then we can move on. All right? That's good, though. Let's look at the second link in this chain of provision. He comes along here in verse 29 and he says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did," you almost shudder to say the word, "predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." So again, if you're thinking of this and kind of like looking at links in this great chain of provision, the next one in this is the issue that our Father predestinated us. The issue of predestination. And this is the Greek word praorizo. And it means, well, what do you think predestinate means? You have a pre. So that's something, pre is before. It's so simple because all you got to do is. Yeah. It means to determine beforehand, to predetermine, to fix, to settle, to decide beforehand. When you predestinate, it means to set some particular destiny in advance. That's what it means. That's what it means in the Greek. But I think it's much more easier to understand in the English, since nobody understands praorizo. So when you talk about predestiny or predestinate, you're setting some particular destiny in advance. That's not spooky. That's thoughtful. That's exactly what a natural father would do with his natural son. We don't have to, again, this is another one of those daunting, scary, theological terms that can just derail you and get you verklempt and cause you to have, you know, vapor lock in your brain when you read that and think, oh no, I've got to go into God's eternal determinate divine counsels and his divine decrees. And you kind of look like, wind up in your head or in your heart, like Barney Fife when he was trying to remember the preamble to the Constitution. And that is such a great scene because he not only can't remember it, he can't even remember one word of it. Andy has to feed him. If you watch that carefully, Andy feeds him every single word. And by the end of it, he has this class. He takes that hair that he has combed back, and he just pulls it all forward. And when he does this, then it's all sticking out. That's kind of what happens to people when they start dealing with predestinate. It causes all kinds of problems, and you wind up getting lost in the woods trying to deal with this eternal divine counsel of God and the whole doctrine of the will of God, the doctrine of God's will. And I can remember as I used to study it, you would have I don't know, we had it broke into like 12, a dozen subcategories of God's will. You know, His sovereign will, and then there was just so many of them, it was just unbelievable. It was a mess. But again, this isn't difficult at all to understand what's going on here. That's not what's going on here. When we're not suddenly shifting to God talking to us about things that would be either highly difficult for us to even get our minds around or have no possibility of getting our minds around. And so predestinate has taken a bad rap because theologians have made it to be so deep that it's almost incomprehensible by mortal beings. You know, they look at themselves as being somewhat immortals. So this isn't not only what's going on here in this passage, but when we allow the context to come to our rescue, to control and to regulate every thought that occurs to us about every word we read, and regulate the way the words are used, this isn't a scary word at all. It isn't even a difficult word or a difficult phrase he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In fact, this is still tracking with something that is natural and normal to a real father, that he would be able to say this very same thing to his son. So once again, that first link to get us to this one in the chain of preparation has been given to you the son, the daughter, and it is produced, or should have produced, as you think about that, and if not, you need to, at least until next week. We won't be here Wednesday, but next Sunday, think about how comforting and how confident building it is to first of all know my Father foreknew me. Well, that can't just lay there, but that's linked to another very powerful chain, or linked to another powerful link in the chain, so to speak. Once that first one has produced the measure of confidence, it doesn't produce it fully, but it produces a measure of that confidence that He's after by itself, all by itself. Now, building on top of that, or linked to that, the Father goes on to tell His Son about the next link in His work. Here's some more work that I did. In fact, here's the real work that I did. And the first one just describes his intelligent way that He's approaching it. Now, He's going to tell us about some real work and preparation for having sons in the first place and adopting them to join in with Him and participate with Him in His business. So the Father says, now, son, when I foreknew you, I didn't just foreknow that you were going to come along and do nothing about it, but I foreknew you within the plan for my business, that I would have sons, and therefore I also predestinated you. Now watch how this will work. When you look at that verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To what? To what? To what? To the image of His Son. All right? He doesn't say to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who that is. How do we know that's who that is? It's a capital S, Son. But by using that terminology, we're to intelligently perceive and understand that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And He is the image into which we're going to be conformed. Not as Jesus, not as Christ, Messiah, not as Lord. I said that backwards. Not as Lord, not as Messiah Christ, not as Jesus, but as Son. So what did he predestinate you into? There you go. Was that hard? He predestinated you to the issue of sonship. That's what He predestinated you to. So we can come along and look at that and say, okay, our Father foreknew about us. He knew beforehand, before we were ever born, that we were going to come along. Then he comes along and he determines that he's going to have, within the framework of his business plan, sons who are going to enjoy and participate with him in it. So to do that, he also, whom he foreknew, did predestinate. He set the destiny in advance for you as his son. Keeping this strictly within the framework of the curriculum of what's going on, or from the in the framework of the context of what's going on here, what that means is, son, the curriculum I'm putting in your hand, that curriculum that you hold there in your hand, that whole thing has an enormous, you can't even imagine the amount of work that I put into it, so that as you have submitted yourself by crying, Abba, Father, to me, and you didn't just read either through Romans 8:5, stop and leave me, or you didn't go through the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 8 and say, you know what, that's enough, I'm through, I don't want to be your son. Even if I am your son, I don't want to be trained or educated as your son. No, when you learned what it means to be a son to me and me a father to you, you cried, Abba, Father. And I went on to not only orient you, but to establish you in two major steps to being my son now. We have to sober up, son, to what you are going to go through and face. And it isn't going to be pretty. And you're going to face not only the things in life itself that were bad enough, but you're going to have a determined adversary who so is enthralled with this thing, with destroying my business and ruining it, and is so angry and violent at what Christ did to him that he is going to seethe with every ounce of hatred and with every ounce of strength he has to see to it that you are thwarted as a son to me. You have now got to start thinking with some sober reality of what I've done preparation-wise for you. I've made it so that all things work together for your good. But you've got to be able to operate and function in an environment where you must know why, and that confidence has to be there, or you'll quit. You'll give up. You will have problems somewhere in your life. Now, what you need to realize, son, I have written this in a way that has thought about all of that in advance, and I have put so much work into this that when you have submitted as a son to this curriculum, it sets your destiny. I have it set in advance. And the destiny is for you to be the fully equipped and fully trained son and daughter with me to function and operate in my business. That's the destiny that I've determined beforehand. That when you couple yourself with the absolute effectual working of this curriculum, your destiny is set. That is confidence. I mentioned before that it's on that little T90 scale, just as a little parallel illustration, the confidence that I had going up to Vandercook College of Music in Chicago, that if I would submit to their training for 4 years, I could choose anywhere I wanted to go in the country and live. I had 100%, there was 100% job placement. Schools were begging for our students. If you wanted to live in Hawaii, if you wanted to live in the desert, if you wanted to live in the cold climates, or you wanted to live in the south, it didn't matter. They'd find a school for you. There would be an opening somewhere for a Vandercook student. Man, you go into that thing, that gives you some confidence, doesn't it? Going into that curriculum. That's nothing compared to what you're being offered. You're being offered to actually come to the point where you're going to do battle with and match wits with the most brilliant genius outside of our Father himself of all of his creatures. An adversary who has declared himself against you ever doing this. And it's interesting because it would be funny if it wasn't so tragic that Satan is more excited about sonship than sons are, than most of Christianity is. He's crazy about it, but to the opposite extent. You're being told here that your Father has set the destiny in advance for you as his son. This isn't one of those terms where you're going to try to figure out, well, I don't have any free will. And like someone was talking to me at the break, the free will Baptist, which is, talk about a oxymoron. It's about as bad as calling, John MacArthur's ministry grace to you. It's anything but grace. It's works to you. But it's so tragic that people think about this in terms where I have no free will, that my destiny is set, and it doesn't matter what I do, what I think, say, or do, the end result is inevitable, that God has set it in his predeterminate counsel inevitable. That's not what this is saying at all. That's a word that can be used that way, but in this context, it won't allow you to think of that word that way. All it'll allow you to do is think that within this framework of me as an adopted son grabbing this curriculum and utilizing it within the details of my life, my Father has produced and worked and provided so into that thing that it actually sets my destiny. I've already told him that I have agreed to him what my destiny should be. When I cried, Abba Father, I want to be his son. Two words, his son. And all that carries with it. All right, if you're going to be that, you're going to need to be trained. You're going to need to go through this education. I'll do that. I'll produce it in you. You're not just going to be my benign son, the son that just kind of sits in the corner all day long. But you do understand that you're assenting to actively participating with me. Yeah, I want that. I want you to train me. I want you to teach me. I want all of this. I see the value in that, all right? When you take this curriculum up, son, that is going to make all things work together for your good, I have so thought that out ahead of time. I foreknew you, and I also predestinated you to be conformed to the image of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that predestinate here is simply within the confines of sonship. Your destiny is set in advance as a son. Remember how that comes to your rescue? For every term you have here that you get a little bit of wrinkle in your brow and you think, I'm not sure about that, just stick that in at the end of it. As a son. Oh, okay. I foreknew you as a son. I predestinate as a son. And he made all the necessary arrangements for that to happen. For your destiny to be set and for that to be achieved and realized, he has made all of the arrangements for that to happen. And by the way, I do not mean by making all the arrangements that he is arranging all of the things in history to come out right. That's not what I mean. I mean he has made the arrangements here. This is where he's made the arrangements. So that come what may, let it come. I'll be more than a conqueror. I will have all those things benefit me when they're mated with that curriculum. And therefore, all those that expression right there is I just got to sit down expression. It's almost too much to imagine when you realize he set my destiny within this curriculum by making arrangements for its power and its might and its ability and its capacity to never be eclipsed by anyone or anything, including that adversary. You are at this point supposed to be almost jaw-dropped to the point where the Father's handing this curriculum to you and your hand's shaking because you're beginning to realize the power that's in that thing. And just a couple verses ago, he could have looked at you and said, "Son, daughter, you have no idea what I'm about ready to give you. You have no idea what it can do." But right here, you're just starting to get your eyes open a little bit to the power that that thing has. Wait till we get to the questions, because you ain't seen nothing yet. When you realize what he's done to set my destiny in that thing, so that I do wind up as a son, usable, profitable to him in that business. And by the way, he deserves that. Need I put the cross back up there again? The investment he made in you is beyond anything you will ever have in this world. You may not, by the way, I'm not saying this to all of you, but I'm going to say it to the world. You may not think much of him, but that's how much he's thought of you. He set your destiny in advance as his son and as his daughter, and he's made all the necessary arrangements for that to happen and for that to be successful for you and for his business plans. And the destiny, by the way, another thing here that often gets brought up by commentators and Bible teachers. Do you get the little twist on this, that the destiny here is not eternal life? That's how this is almost always handled. It's like, well, we're destined to be with God in heaven forever. Oh, okay. If you want to say that, but that's not what's going on here. I mean, this verse is often hauled out for that when they talk about your predestination and everything. But this, again, is taught by saints, if they are, and by folks who have no... To say shallow would be too much. They have absolutely no appreciation for what's going on here, let alone a shallow understanding. But the destiny here is not eternal life. That's not what that's talking about. The destiny, as it says here, is to be conformed to the image of his son. The destiny is to sonship and the results of it. To be conformed to the image of his son is to have my destiny set in advance as I submit myself to this curriculum and its effectual working in my life to be conformed to the image of his son. To sonship and being conformed to the image of his son is the results of that sonship. Because Jesus Christ himself is now in a position of benefiting from the results of his sonship education. And that's not his sonship education. When I say that, again, like I did last time, where did your mind go? Your mind probably went right to when he was 12 years old, when he went from 12 to 30, when he was here on this earth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm going to address that a little more when we get down to this thing. We're talking about the image of his son as he is in this dispensation of grace. He had to learn this stuff. We all think about Jesus learning the prophets. Remember when he stood in the temple finally and he takes the prophet Isaiah and he opens the book there in Luke, which is great because God had told the nation of Israel. What did he tell them the book was to them? It was a closed book. You read and you don't understand what you're reading. You ask for the understanding and no one can give it to you. Jesus comes along and goes into the synagogue and he takes that book and he opens the book and he reads about the acceptable day of the Lord is here. And he says, this day, this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. And then he took the book and he closed it and handed it back to them. Because it was still a closed book to them because they wanted him out of there. Now, That is the way most of us think when we think about being conformed into the image of His Son. We don't realize that just as Christ was educated and understood and came to appreciate God's program with Israel and His function as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He had to do the same thing with our curriculum. Jesus Christ had to understand Romans through Philemon. I'm putting it to you that way so that you stop the automatic reflex action that every time you think about being conformed in the image of Jesus Christ or conformed in the image of His Son, you're thinking about conformed in the image as He was on this earth. No, it's the image of who He is as the head of the church, the body of Christ, with whom you're going to be functioning forever with. That's why I've hammered at the issue of keeping things in context. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But all we're confronted with here is that our destiny has been set not to eternal life, but to be conformed to sonship and its results. And again, that's exactly what a son needs to hear when he's been confronted with what verse 28 declares. A son needs to realize that his father has not just thought about this in advance. Well, that's great, Dad. I'm glad you thought about it. I mean, that gives me some comfort, but I'm waiting for more. In other words, you ever have somebody yeah you while you're telling them something? You know, sometimes you yeah somebody on the phone so that you can let them know you're understanding, but sometimes it gets a little bit irritating. When you're going through something, they go, yeah, 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 yeah. You ever have somebody do that? I do. Yeah. So, son, I foreknew you. Yeah. Do you got that? You have that? Yeah. See, the yeah means keep coming. Keep coming. There's something else. And that's natural. So the son should be yeah. For whom he did foreknow. Yeah, yeah. There's got to be something out after that, or I'm going to be a little bit disappointed, because, Dad, if all you did was foreknow me and then do nothing about it, that was a dumb thing. Yeah, yeah. He also did predestinate. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now we're getting somewhere. That's what he a son has to realize. His father's not just thought about him this whole thing in advance, but that he provided for it. He did some work. A bunch of work to provide in advance for it. I mean, it's easy to think about something in advance and then do absolutely nothing about it. To go back to that illustration I was using on Wednesday night about watching your neighbor's house. Somebody comes along and says, I'm going to be gone. I'd like for you to watch my house. I got a dog, a cat, and a bird or something like that. I don't know what I said the other night. I think a fish or something like that. Okay. Well, you know in advance that you're going to have to be watching that house, and you can do absolutely nothing about it, or you can find out the habits of the dog, what it likes to eat, when it needs to go out. You can find out when lights should be turned on, when they should be turned off, to make it look exactly like that person is home all the time. And before the appointed day arrives, when the guy's going to actually leave and this all begins, I thought it out in advance, and I set the destiny by doing some work beforehand that I could successfully make it look as though that guy was really there. Now, that's got a lot of holes in that illustration, but it's just to get the point across. That what our Father has done should really be in the predestination part of it, where the impression really starts to be felt upon us. And you'd recognize, and you're supposed to recognize here, and you're supposed to be impressed with the fact that your Father didn't just know about you in advance, but then do nothing about it, like a foolish father. But as soon, and I'm putting this in time frame, but as soon as He foreknew you, knew all about you in advance, He immediately went to work. And the work He did, you can't even imagine. He went to work and did a whole bunch of work, provision-wise and preparation-wise, so that when you arrived, all that he's been telling you about the ability of his planned out curriculum for your sonship education to succeed and to work and to do its job, just like he declared it would in verse 28. He produced a chain of provision and provided for you a curriculum that along with that is his very living spirit living within you to lead you through that curriculum. And that curriculum has the capacity and the ability and strength and power to the tune of all of our Heavenly Father's careful provision and preparation going into it so that it's going to work together with all things for good. That's what that predestinate is talking about. And in the context of sonship, actually, when you're talking about a son, and you're talking about a father talking to his son or daughter, foreknowledge of a son is really for the purpose of making preparation, advanced preparation for that son. And I say that to point out to you one of the dimensions we've talked about before in this, the order of it. And how natural that you could not reverse any one of these five things or get them out of order. They're in an order to where even when you're talking about a natural father and son, foreknowledge of a son is for the purpose of making advanced preparation. Predestination is that advanced preparation. When that son comes along, foreknowledge of a son is for the purpose of making advanced preparation for that son when he comes along. And that's what that son now is hearing what he wants to hear, what he's been wanting to hear his father say all along. It's another link in proving the reality that verse 28 is true, and you can rely on it, you can stand on it, you can jump on it, you can roll around on it. It'll take your weight. It'll take the weight of all things. That it's an amazing thing that our Father has prepared to the tune of making it so that this thing is so powerful it's going to work together with all things for good. So therefore, when our Father foreknew us, that's not simply an expression of His godness, as if He could only have known that by His foreknowledge and His omniscience. It really takes it totally out of that. Because I can say that to my own sons, that I foreknew you. But that's Him coming along and saying to us, look, since this thing is being looked at in the context of my business and my determination to have sons with me in my business and heirs with me in my business, when I foreknew you, son, I just didn't foreknow you in that most simplistic sense of having foreknowledge about you, knowing about you in advance. But the difference here is, son, I foreknew you as my son. That made me do things, a lot of things. I foreknew you as my son coming along down the road who would be adopted by me and used by me. So I'm going to have to do a bunch of things to prepare for you. Therefore, I predestinated you unto sonship and its results. Therefore, I made intelligent preparations for what you were going to go through. I didn't just set you on a boat and stick you out at sea. I made preparations for what you were going to go through and what you were going to need once I adopted you. Hence, son, this curriculum that I've put together, this thing contains all the wealth. This, again, that's what you've got in your hand. This thing contains the wealth of my advanced preparations and full knowledge and awareness, and I mean that, my total recognition and discernment and wisdom and insight and perception as to what you are going to need and what you are going to go through and what you're going to require as my son when it comes to living every detail of your sonship life. That's what I've done. And the only way you're going to perceive those things, son, with a measure of confidence and assurance and conviction that ought to come out of that when you do perceive these things, is to view it from my perspective, the work I put into this. And you're to be impressed with that. Even though you may not know every detail of it, what you do know is to be so impressive that it produces that confidence. And to view everything that I've done with you, if I'm speaking again as the Father already, everything I've done with you already, up until bringing you to the point of adopting you as my son, so that you see clearly that perfect chain of provision and perfect chain of preparedness, all laid out, link by link by link, so you can recognize the perfection of each link, and so that you can recognize the perfection of this final link that I'm putting into your lap right now, which is the curriculum. And son, either you're going to be a weak link in that chain because you don't trust me and you don't trust it. You don't depend upon it. Or you're going to be a strong link in that and you're going to fully bring your weight to bear upon it and fully depend upon it and fully recognize what I've said is true and what it says it can do, it will do, it will work. But that's what's going on here. So, it's impressive. To me it is. To realize that what this contains, the wealth of my Father's advanced preparation, the wealth of His full knowledge. He's not blinded. He's not blindsided. Because we are talking, this is again where we have to remember, our Father has this element of infiniteness to Him that an earthly father doesn't. That any earthly teaching or curriculum or school of instruction on whatever has failures in it because it's not God our Father. But God our Father can have full knowledge and awareness and recognition of what it takes to be a son of His. And it ain't easy to be a son of my Father. You know, I knew some kids that I grew up with, and it wasn't easy being their father's son, but it was for a whole different reason. And a sad reason. If you ever see the movie Stand By Me, that was pretty much the crowd I ran around with when I was a boy. We probably all had a crowd like that. You had one kid in the crowd who would jump out of a tree if you told him to. You always had a leader, and you always had followers, and you always had Vern who was trying to find his pennies. I won't tell you who I was. But what I'm after in all of that is that some sons are impressed by their father in a bad way. Our Father, the wealth of what He's done to prepare in advance for our destiny to be set within that curriculum, and the depth of His wisdom and discernment and recognition is phenomenal of the work that went into what He's putting in our hands. Because He knows what it takes. He knows what it requires. And there isn't one of you here today that really does. You're going to start to know that very soon. And you're going to be all the more impressed with what our Father did when it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, we're really out of time. If I go on into this next segment, it's going to take more time than we need, so I think we'll stop, even if it is a little bit early for today. I want to begin talking to you about being conformed to the image of his Son a little bit, and then that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But for now, since we're going to end a little early, are there any questions about the issue of being predestinated in this context? I know a lot of these things you need to go home and let it gel. You kind of need to go home and roll it over and that kind of thing. But is there any kind of burning question that you had that seemed to be in your mind? But it really is a simple issue. It's not difficult. What saves us is the context, keeping it, and all that hammering away and repetition that I've done to keep this within the confines so that it doesn't allow your mind to start taking words out of how they're being used. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the reasons why he begins this whole thing. I never pointed to it. No one ever brought it up to me, but it says in verse 28, to them that love God. It doesn't say to them that love our Father. And as I've said before, my purpose in trying to drive home the issue of a natural father with a natural son is to say that none of these things are inconsistent with that. But there, I have no problem at all justifying in my own thinking that we still have a Father who is God, and he doesn't cease being God. And I don't think it transgresses the issue of him still dealing with us on the basis of him as a real Father to us, as a real Son. But when he can go and talk about himself in ways that gives us confidence, we understand and appreciate that the provisions he makes, and maybe this is as far as we need to take it, they are unlike human beings. They're perfect provisions. Because there is a godness to him. There is an infiniteness to him in what he is able to do work-wise. But relationship-wise, he's still saying, I'm going to be to you as a father, and you're going to be to me as a daughter and as a son. But if my understanding is correct on that, the only issue that I'm trying to bring in there is that there is a measure that separates this from what even normal fathers could do, even though they can do all of this. This is even more powerful than that, because we're never to assume that our Father has limited himself to the point where we're just kind of throwing in with any other human being. It's to make sure that we understand that, you know, there could be a problem with that were it not for the word that we hold in our hand. And when I talk about his full knowledge or his full awareness, recognition, discernment, and wisdom and all of that, it's not that we're going to be operating on him that way apart from the curriculum. But it's the word itself that he has vested with all that perfection and all of that power and all of that thoughtfulness and all of that ability and might. And so I don't think that we're to ever not understand that our Father happens to be God himself. but that the relationship with that I have with him is not as God to creature, but as Father to Son. And so I can understand where there may be a bit of confusion in all of that, or it seems to be contradictory, but I do believe there's a way to kind of separate things a little bit, probably better, and to be quite honest with you, probably a better teacher could do that. and be able to state it a little more clearly than I have. But there's, you know, when we talk about God's godness, we're not talking about it in the sense of his godness externally operating, but we're talking about it internally operating. And there is a supernaturalness to this, because anytime something operates within our human spirit like that, from the Word of God operating in there and how it produces things and how it changes the heart, that's not in the realm of human naturalness. It is supernatural. So there is, I don't deny there's not a supernaturalness to this at all. What I'm saying is it's not external, it's internal. It's the inner man, and it's the working of that Word within our inner man. I mean, we have to acknowledge that fact because we've got his Spirit in us. And not only that, he should be dwelling in us and to one day even filling us. So that may not help, but... And oftentimes I'll say something to try to drive a point home where later on we can make adjustments to it. And maybe that's one of those things that we can look at and say, well, he is God, but what we've got a healthy respect for now is that we're not looking for him operating in his godness in some way externally to put his intervening hand between us and the bus that's about to hit us. Unlike a natural father who predestinates and sets the destiny of his natural son, our Father can do that with a degree of infiniteness that natural father can't. I acknowledge that. But that still doesn't destroy or touch the ability of him to function as a real father to us and us as a real son to him. So, anyway. It's a good question, though. Good question. Because that's who he is. But he's still able to function with us as a father. But what a work he's done in providing the curriculum for us. Well, anything else? Going. Fair warning. Sold. All right. We'll stop there and we'll, now again, we're off on Wednesday. So I'll see you back here next Sunday at the regular time.